Kenyans are also taking stock, literally, of the cost of the turmoil. The impact on Kenya's economy, especially tourism, is now being assessed. From the capital, Nairobi, NPR's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reports.
At least 1,000 people have been killed. 300,000 more have been driven from their homes in a frenzy of ethnic bloodshed. Shops and businesses were looted and trashed. This past Tuesday, business leaders again appealed to Kenya's feuding politicians to stop the violence. Speaking on behalf of 300 CEOs, Michael Joseph, the boss of the mobile phone company Safaricom, said a political solution was urgently needed.
Every day that there's another delay, more of our business is lost and becomes irrecoverable. People can say we're putting profit first, but we're not. We're putting our country first. Because without our businesses, there's no jobs. So, you know, for us, it's really, really important. The politicians believe you turn on a switch after the conclusion of the negotiations and the economy is back to normal. It's not going to be like that. And then what's going to happen to pay for all of this? Taxes will have to go up.
Kenya's business bosses held talks this past week with the former United Nations chief, Kofi Annan, who's trying to broker a peaceful settlement between President Mwai Kibaki and his political opponent, Raila Odinga. Annan said in times of crisis, everyone had an important role to play.
People losing their jobs, children are unable to go to school. So I'm extremely delighted that the business community is taking leadership here.
Nearly every part of the economy has been hit, from small businesses to the giant horticultural farms that have made Kenya a leading exporter of cut flowers. But hardest hit is the beach resort and wildlife safari industry, Kenya's top foreign exchange earners. Over the past month, 20,000 people have lost their jobs in tourism. It's high season now, and there should be 30,000 visitors here. Yet dozens of hotels in Kenya's coastal capital, Mombasa, have been forced to close down. The sparkling white beaches overlooking the blue waters of the Indian Ocean are virtually empty. A worried Pamela Ongeri, owner of Park Adventure Safari at Serena Beach, says bookings are way down and job losses have begun.
First and foremost, we had cancellations. We had so many cancellations. Most of the tourists, they come to Kenya around this time. And we had to do refunds, which is a very hard thing in our business. And we had to lay off some workers, being like, there's no business. So I realize it's better they stay home for some time as we wait. Maybe after the business can resume, they can come back.
Fawaz Fadil is a tour guide, also in Mombasa.
Our work is to guide tourists when they come here around Fort Jesus, the old town, or go with them on safaris like Malindi or national parks. Since the violence started, there have been a steep decline in business. I'll say the situation has grown from bad to worse, and now it's worst. Right now, for the last 2 weeks, we have not handled any tourists around here.
It's the same story wherever you go. No business. About 250,000 Kenyans were directly employed in the tourist industry, with about another 3 million making their living from related activities: taxis, restaurants, cafes, souvenirs, and curios. Business leader Michael Joseph says that by year end, the chaos of the past few weeks could have cost Kenya more than $3.5 billion.
Over the last 40 years, we've said this is a safe and secure country, but we've been proved wrong. And, you know, we must get back the confidence, not just the national economy, but the international community as well.
That's what most Kenyans are hoping for. Joseph says any hold-up in resolving the post-election turmoil risks plunging the country deeper into crisis. And he warns there may be no Kenya to govern and no people to tax. Ophelia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Nairobi.